Alrighty, welcome back, everybody. Joining us in the studio right now for this half of Consider This is Mandy Martin. She is running for the mayor in Cramie Township. Mandy Martin believes Cramie Township deserves a mayor who will represent all citizens, a mayor who will work with all council members, a mayor who is fair-minded, principled, and accountable. To be mayor is a privilege, not a right. It's an honor to be earned, not assumed. And that is why she's standing for election, and she's asking you for your vote. Mandy Martin has over 45 years of both business and volunteer experience at the local, county, provincial, and international levels. Mandy Martin, welcome to the studio. Glad to have you here.
Thank you very much. Pleasure.
And, Rob Washburn, of course, here with us. And I'm going to give you the first question, Rob.
Well, thanks so much, Dave. I'm curious, what Dave just read, he talks about you say in your literature, all citizens. And I'm wondering what you're implying by that when you say that, because has there been some reason that not all citizens have been involved prior to this?
I think what happens is that when someone is an incumbent for any length of time, you get used to certain patterns and ways of doing things. And I think it's been assumed that this group will handle this and that group will handle that, and we always have done it this way, so that's how we're going to approach this. I think when you do that, you exclude people. Another thing that happens is that over the 12 years, we've got new faces coming in. We're on the cusp of some major, major development, and we have to be ahead of that. That means new stresses, new people, new opportunities. We have to open our minds and open our processes. We have to be inclusive.
Can you give a concrete example of what you mean by opening things up or you know, as you're suggesting, there's these new people. How are you going to engage those people? What are you proposing specifically?
I have several thoughts in mind. I would like to relocate the council meetings on regular intervals and also have them at different times of the day. Not all people are available at 7 o'clock on a Tuesday night. So take it out to the people. Some people work shift work. Some people are only around on weekends. There are school children that I am desperately interested in getting involved in our democratic process. Then there are other opportunities to approach other groups to get them to present to us what they would like to see happen. That may mean changing the venue of the meeting. For example, it used to be there was one annual meeting in Castleton Town Hall. We had a candidates meeting there last night, hosted by the Chamber of Commerce. And not one question was fielded from the floor by the people from Castleton and the northern part of the township. The questions were pre-submitted and all vetted to be very economically geared and put. And fair enough, that's the chamber's prerogative, right? That's their sphere of influence. But what happens is that when you open it to a public dialogue, then you have to be prepared to hear what the public brings to the table. And that didn't happen. And I think that's a wasted opportunity. That's just one example.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, it sounds to me like what's happening in Cramie is pretty similar to what's happening in municipalities across this province, where they get elected and they just go about doing their business and they put out the required notifications to the general public to let them know what's happening in terms of a public meeting or whatever. But in terms of actually engaging the public, there really isn't a whole lot of that going on. Once the elector votes, that pretty much ends their engagement unless they decide that they want to be willing to come out to a Tuesday night meeting and maybe make a presentation. The idea that council can go out to meet the constituents is something that is, in your mind, new. Is that fair to say?
I don't think that it's altogether new, but I think that people have forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
Democracy begins at the local level, municipally. In fact, I am so despairing of the way our political processes are going on the provincial and federal level in terms of inclusion. And we're whipped into shape after this leader or that leader, when in fact the decisions that are made are should be made involve other people, other interests, other groups that are affected. At the municipal level, we have that opportunity. This is where we live. These are the issues. This is if I make a decision about where a lot of land should go or whatever. Yes, there are all these other provincial rules and regulations, but we also have the opportunity to adapt it to our municipality, to where we want to be. And we have to be ready to stand up and stake that right.
One of the things you also mention on your website is working with all counselors. And again, there's an implication that that's not been happening. Can you tell us what you're proposing and maybe give us an example of where you think what the previous council has done wrong?
I think they slipped into a pattern. What happens, we have a five-person council, including the mayor. There's a deputy mayor, and then there are three other counselors. Well, on any vote that isn't recorded, the mayor does not vote. Mm-hmm. So what was happening was on some serious issues, we were getting two for and two against. And then the mayor would come in and break the tie. And you can say, that's democracy, that's the way it goes, suck it up. Well, here's the problem. There was very little debate on some of those very serious issues because the votes had been lined up ahead of time. People knew how they were going to vote. So when it comes to council or committee, the discussion isn't happening. So there goes, you know, any sense of democracy. That has to stop.
Okay, so if I'm hearing you correctly, it seems like a lot of decisions are being made beforehand. Even the two decisions that are going to need to break a tie break from the mayor. Those votes have been pre-considered. Maybe they have, maybe they haven't. But there definitely seems to be, what you're saying is there's a pattern that some people will always vote in a certain way, others may always vote in another way. But there seems to be this idea, because again, the mayor is only supposed to vote in the event of a tie, right?
Correct.
And it sounds to me like you're alluding to the possibility that there may be too many ties, and maybe that's sometimes by
design.
Well,
at last night's discussion, the mayor said, I've gone back and I've checked, and there have only been 12 times that I voted mm-hmm. this way. But my question is, what were the 12 issues on which you voted that way? Was there discussion of the issues? You know, you can say numbers can tell you all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But if you don't know what you're numbering, then we're not getting the true picture.
So 12 times it happened, it could have happened. But so you're, again, if I hear you correctly, and please correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds to me like the mayor had already kind of made his decision on what the way it was going to go, and there needed to be a tiebreaker. So rather than coming back into the room and redefining why he was making his decision, he was simply coming in and saying, well, I'm voting this way.
Exactly.
Is that accurate?
Exactly. That's accurate. There was no time, mm-hmm. you know, in between or discussion. And some of these issues are very significant and have impact mm-hmm. on the community. And so that was becoming a pattern, and people were noticing it. And people are now, as I go out knocking door to door and campaigning, they know that this is what has happened. And they're not pleased with it.
So you're hearing that people want change, and the change that they want it appears to be a more democratic process.
I think they're looking for openness, and they're looking for integrity
mm-hmm.
and openness, honesty. And I think there was a wonderful suggestion last night by a deputy mayor candidate, Sandra Arthur, who said, what happens now is that you come into a council meeting, there's a committee in council meeting first at 7 o'clock, for example. That's when you're supposed to discuss things that are put forward. Then after the committee of council meeting is over, and they've made a resolution, okay, we're going to accept this or we're doing that, then there's an immediate council meeting on which they then approve what they've done. Now, if you get your agenda on Friday afternoon before a Tuesday meeting about a $4.5 million sewer proposal,
mm-hmm.
that's not leaving an awful lot of time for discussion, for investigation, for considering other options. And yet here it comes to a committee meeting, you know, at 7 o'clock, and at, say, 7:30, 7:45, let's approve it. Let's go to a council meeting now, quote. It's like people putting on hats.
Mm-hmm.
It's alarming to me.
Well, one of the things, though, is these sound like technical things, process-oriented things. And I know for people who are very engaged in politics, these things are super important.
They are.
But for the average individual, you know, make the decisions, let's get on with business. So why is it so important that this process stuff be tackled, or to help those who maybe aren't that process-oriented, help them understand why you're so concerned about this stuff?
Because this is our future. And if you're willing to give away your capacity to grow after a 45-minute discussion or non-discussion, as the case may be, we're not going anywhere. We're going down the tubes because we won't plan properly, we won't be ready, we won't be doing things that are efficient or effective. Instead of approving a road project, for example, that in another year is going to be torn up again because you want to put in this service or that service or extend something. Like this patchwork approach, it's like a one-off, very miniature consideration. And we need to be thinking on a broader scale.
So let's then talk about some of these broader things. For example, development.
Yes.
You mentioned earlier there's a lot of people coming in. There's a lot of development now going on down there, both industrially and in terms of residential. So what are you proposing? Where do you stand on development in Crammy Township?
I think there is a lot of potential for residential development, for example. And there's always... It's coming whether we like it or not. Southwestern Ontario is full. And the price range. And I'm sorry, we are attractive. People are coming out because of the price of houses, etc. Well, that's fine. But you don't just give it away. We've got to consider what it's going to cost to service these developments. Then we have another issue, quite apart from the philosophy. How are we going to service these? Our sewage capacity is at its limit.
So what's the solution then? What are you
proposing? So the solution is we talk to other levels and to other partners to develop the services. And I don't mean this little, you know, small bore sewer changed out for a larger pipe. We've got to look at the bigger picture and do it properly. Let's get the sewage capacity, plan for it, and the water capacity, the services. Let's look at the larger picture. Otherwise, we're just giving...
But who's going to pay for all that?
Patrick, there are various ways to do... Obviously, there are other levels of government, which again, is just us, the taxpayers. But also potential developers who come in, they know a deal when they see it. They have a price. They have a price that they are willing to pay to develop here.
Well, and to Mandy's point, I mean, the reality is they have a new water treatment facility that's relatively brand new. It's a few years old. And now they're already talking about how they have to expand sewage capacity for that very project, which is not very old. So if they had properly had debate and conversation about, okay, yes, let's build this, but let's make sure that we look down the road to the future, because essentially what she is saying, and she's absolutely correct, the short-sightedness during that decision has led to them now having to tear up the ground, tear up some road work that's been done, to now rejig the capacity. So again, it comes down to whether or not it's being properly discussed and debated. And your assertion earlier, which was, well, here's the plan. Oh, yeah, that looks like a good plan. Yeah, are you for it or against it? Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Without going, okay, well, wait a minute, it's a great plan. But if we have expansion in the western part of the municipality or up into the northern or northern part of the town where they're doing industrial development, are we going to be able to have the capacity for that? And it sounds to me like what you're saying is that that's a debate that didn't happen at the right time, and that's now going to cost the Crammy residents more money. And this is why you need to have those fulsome discussions. And yes, it's about policy, and yes, maybe it's about how we do the process, but that process could have saved the municipality significant amounts of
money. So I'm curious, though, how we're going to pay for all this, because obviously sometimes it comes back down to the taxpayers. And, of course, everybody gets anxious when taxes go up. So your proposal in going forward, is there going to be repercussions on the tax bill?
There are always going to be repercussions if you grow. But what the level of service that you get in return and the security and your own property value goes up. So it's an investment.
But you do anticipate taxes will go up.
Tell me anyone who says they won't.
Well, there's lots of people that argue that taxes should go down. So you're obviously it's different
I think
for you.
I think that taxes are necessary to fund our services, our social programs, whatever. There is always a level of inflation. And I think that, for example, in Crammy Township, our budget, our annual budget, any increases should be held to the level of inflation. Period. Because what is happening is all these decisions that are scatter are costing us money. They don't save us money. They're not even efficient. And that's what we need to do. We need to address how we're doing things. We put a lid on the number of people we're hiring. We don't have the money. we don't have the money to do that, we're going to have to make some hard decisions.
But how do you go forward with these mega projects, the sewers and that you've talked about and that kind of thing? Those are expensive things. How do you pay for that and at the same time keep a lid on an inflationary increase in taxes?
If you use it on a user pay basis, then you begin the negotiations with the developers, with the service makers. There are new technologies as well coming on stream, which I find very interesting. And the idea that we just do the same old, is getting tired, especially in this world-connected age. I mean, I'm very aware, and I have friends truly around the world who notify me of the way other municipalities, other towns, other provinces are handling things in their communities. Very innovative. We should be looking at those things.
Now, what about economic development? I know there's been some development economically along the highway, and also you've had the Big Apple's expanding. You've got the Tim Hortons. So there's been some economic activity. What are you proposing in terms of an economic strategy?
Number one, I think we have to stop referring to agriculture in the diminutive as if it's the leftover ancient cousin that comes to the table at Thanksgiving. The agriculture industry is one of our prime industries, and yet they're given very little room at the table when we talk about innovation, mm-hmm. when we talk about marketing, when we talk about potential. In terms of our growth, in industrial growth in Colborne, for example, right now it's being touted, well, you know, we have a new fire hall and emergency services center, as if it's an industry. It's not. And then the Ontario Agriculture Food Initiative, the Ventures Building, mm-hmm. with the kitchen, which has just been purchased by the county. Well, that's taxpayer money. That's not private money. That's not real money, if you know what I mean. So, that being said, there are other industries that are interested in coming, but they're not interested unless we have things in place.
How do you know that?
Because there are other places they can go. What we're offering is really a start at minus zero on the scale of being prepared to accept new industry.
So what would you propose then?
I propose we get our sewers up to snuff in Colborne. I propose that we look at the other agricultural suggestions that are coming on. And again, just take a wider perspective around the world and you'd be astounded at some of the things that are coming out of the ag community. And it's not just plowing or growing a crop, it's how they market, it's what they produce, and how it dovetails with other processes.
But isn't that what they do at the Agri-Food Venture Center? I mean, that's the kinds of stuff that they're promoting right now, isn't it?
The use of the kitchen and food processing and freezing, yes, and some marketing in terms of making labels and so on. I'm saying that really does need a bigger picture and a marketing venture. I think it has the potential to be fabulous. I think it has a potential to be fabulous.
What about hold on, if I can just interject here, because what you're saying is that's all taxpayer funded.
Exactly.
You're saying that, and it is great, and it's good, and it's promoting the economy, and it's getting people aware of agri-food in the region, and it is helping some farmers. But it's not bringing industry here.
Correct.
It's not bringing, and there was a report out of the UN just yesterday, I believe, maybe even Monday, that agri-food is the largest growth sector in our global economy.
Correct.
Right now. We've got to be able to feed not just ourselves, but now we're looking at feeding the broader world. And your goal, obviously, is to get some of that agribusiness into Crammy, and in order to do that, we need to make sure that we have the facilities in place to do that.
And support the investigation of that, the contacts, the links that happen. Instead of just being parochial.
How do you do that, though, practically?
You start talking, you start attending meetings and gatherings and congresses that are beyond your borders. Like, Crammy is really very tiny.
Mm-hmm.
Very tiny. Population is just over 6,000. I'm actually rather surprised Doug Ford hasn't visited us. And that probably will happen at some point. But right now we have an opportunity to keep control of our own destiny and to welcome it and to plan it the way we want to do it.
So what about the downtown? How would you develop that economically?
I think it's very interesting that people keep talking about it as if it's an outside source that needs to come in and tell everybody how to do it. I think the strength in the downtown is when people start meeting and cooperating together. Cross-market. For example, I'm not talking, yes, maybe the whole downtown or whatever, but get three businesses together. They brainstorm. They start cross-promoting themselves, coming up with ideas that will promote themselves, market themselves. It's got to happen with ourselves pulling up, too. It can't just all come as some sort of, here's a free card, pass, go. It doesn't work that way. You've got to really think innovatively now. Mm-hmm. Money being thrown at you isn't necessarily going to help the situation. We have to think of innovative ways.
Do you think it's still valuable to be part of the partnership with Brighton in terms of the Chambers of Commerce? I know that those sort of economic initiatives have been sometimes put towards the Chamber locally. Or do you think you need to have your own Chamber of Commerce?
I don't think that the Chamber of Commerce has a place being funded by our council at all. And I think it's too parochial for what I have in mind.
So what would you do then?
Well, for example, I think that the so-called contract with the Chamber of Commerce, which has just over 111 members, the Chamber's own constitution says that it is supposed to be membership funded within its own members. It is a business organization, and it should not be dependent on any government grants or input. That being said, now we have 111 in members in Colborne and Brighton. Of those, fewer than 11 are from Cramie Township. When I look at the list of the Cramie Township members, there are maybe three industries. The rest are small businesses.
So would you pull out of the chamber then?
I would. I have no interest in being a member of the Chamber of Commerce, and I don't think the township should be subsidizing them. I don't think they should be getting free office space in our town hall when there are other innovative things we could be doing or services that should be provided. For example, a mental health satellite office.
On that note, we're going to take our last break of the hour. When we come back, we'll wrap it up with Mandy Martin. She's running for mayor of Cramie Township. I'm Dave Glover. You're listening to Consider This.
Old Time Radio has a new home. Classic radio dramas, suspense, and comedies. Sunday evenings, 9 until midnight, here on Northumberland 89.7.
Hey, Northumberland, it's Teresa.
And Heather from All Creatures Great and Small.
We love connecting with you and your pets.
And getting all your feedback about what you're looking for.
We wanted to invite you to drop by the store, check out our new look, and our new product lines.
It's very exciting. We've got homeopathic supplements, CBD, and our new probiotic skincare line.
Great for those itchy, stinky, yeasty beasts.
So whether you connect with us in person,
on Instagram or Facebook,
we're here for you.
All Creatures Great and Small. Natural pet care since 2000.
7 days a week in downtown Coburg.
Every Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m., Northumberland 89.7 has a fabulous new feature, Radio Bingo. You can play right in the comfort of your own home. There will be $800 in prizes given out each week. Cards are available in Port Hope at Giant Tiger, 145 Peter Street, PharmaSave, 60 Ontario Street, BBC Convenience, 99 Walton Street, Uptown Variety, 166 Rideout Street, A-Plus Convenience, 68 Wellington Street, Garden Hill Store, 3825 Ganaraska Road, Maple Leaf Smokeland Variety, 123 Peter Street. Don't miss Radio Bingo every Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m. An exciting opportunity to win prizes while helping raise funds for Northumberland 89.7. Your truly local radio run by truly local volunteers.
Lottery license numbers M740399 and M740400.
Hi, I'm Teresa.
And I'm Heather.
We own All Creatures Great and Small,
your natural pet care specialists.
You've probably noticed that raw food for pets is everywhere now.
We're not surprised.
We've been feeding raw and educating about the benefits for the last 18 years.
To ensure your pets are getting a balanced raw food diet
with the supplementation they need,
come see us. We've got the knowledge
and the experience. All Creatures Great and Small, your raw food experts, 7 days a week in downtown Coburg.
And don't forget, like us on Facebook.
From the makers of the Jetta, the Tiguan, and the Atlas comes the blockbuster sales event of the year. With 0% financing, up to 72 months, or up to $4,000 cash bonus. The one and only Volksfest.
Was that dramatic enough, or do you want me to go even bigger?
$4,000 cash bonus available on select Passat models. Offer ends October 1st. Visit vwoffers.ca for details.
Volkswagen.
If you're a local business owner and looking to get the word out, ask about advertising with us. We're happy to talk to you about how we can help grow your business. Just call 905-372-2391. We are Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
All righty. Well, welcome back. Our guest is Mandy Martin. She's running for mayor of Cranby Township. Mandy, the question I ask our candidates, I like to ask it anyways, why you? It's a job application, right? Why would I give you the job?
Because I mean it, and I intend to follow through. I'm passionate. I love my community. I love where I live. I'm not going anywhere. I'm living here. I'm doing it, and I want it to be the best. We have some extraordinary people who have come out of Cramie. I mean, international, I keep saying this, but there is a world stage. Wonderful, gifted business people, authors, artisans. This is who we are, and it comes of having the community and the enterprise and the history that we've had, where we respect one another, we support one another, and we go for it.
There you go. Listener, that's Mandy Martin. She's running for mayor of Cramby Township. I'm Dave Glover. That's going to do it for us on another day of Consider This Live. Thanks to Rob Washburn, and thanks to you for listening. As I always say, I don't have the answers to your questions, but I will help you think. And a reminder that we don't write the world. That's really local radio, but we do bring it to you each and every single day. I'm Dave Glover. Stick around for Cedar Rail.
I've seen the city lights that shine so bright. You lose all sense of time. I've wandered ancient lands with castles grand, just to see what I could find. But never have I found such peace, no matter where I roam, as in the green hills of Northumberland, the place that I call home.